what we started last Sunday. If you weren't here Wednesday night, because I know so many of you have to work or unable to get back, Wednesday night we continued the thought that has been ringing in me for so many weeks. A church without walls, we are cornerstone. How do we demonstrate that? We can preach as many sermons as we want, but how do we demonstrate that? How do we talk about we are cornerstone? And there are 10 topics or 10 ideas, 10 points that I want to share with you. I shared the first five on Wednesday night, but I want to go through the first five very briefly, very quickly, to catch some of you up, because I think that they're very important to who we are as Cornerstone. These are our culture points. Culture determines who we are. If you are in a culture or part of a culture for any extended period of time, you take on the traits of that culture and you identify with that culture, right? What is the definition of culture? Well, there are a lot of definitions, but for what we're talking about today, my definition, if you don't mind, because I have to put it in terms that Matt can understand, is how we do it here. Think about it. On Christmas, the culture of your family is how you do it there. Right? What you do. How you do it here. Right? Well, some of you will open a gift on Christmas Eve. Some of you will not. But that's because that's how we do it here. And better nobody come up in here and try and change our culture. You know what I'm saying? Because somebody will set them straight. That's not how we do it here. And yet, when we come into this building that is not the church, because we are the church, I am Cornerstone, we don't always understand how to identify with each other. We don't always understand how to come together and to lay aside the things that we brought to create and to identify in a new culture. There are some folks that are in here who were born in the Cornerstone, but not that many. Most of us came from other places. And one of the questions I asked, and I don't ask it ugly, because I don't think that is in my heart to ask it this way. But my question is, if things were so great at your former place of worship, why aren't you still there? And it's not, again, not an ugly thing. It's really a question to consider. One of those reasons why I chose to be at Cornerstone is because there's something in the Holy Spirit, something drawing me, something that said, this is where you're supposed to be. So if this is where I'm supposed to be, then I have to stop myself from behaving the way I used to. My father-in-law, I know you probably will not believe this, but my father-in-law taught me a very important lesson. In my family, because I'm just kind of energetic and just kind of, I'm just kind of like, you know, here I am. I'm glad to see you. Most of you know that's how I am. That's just me, right? And so I just walk in a room and I'm just, hey, it's good to see you. That doesn't always work. How many of you have ever come up on somebody else having a conversation and you not realizing where you are or what you're doing, and you just kind of insert yourself in that conversation, and then they look at you like, I'm going to kill you. Anybody ever felt like that? Ooh, if only I could shrink back and just die right now. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm saying? And so my father-in-law taught me this important lesson. When you walk in the room, and I think I've shared this with many of you before, if not, then this is really good advice. It's not mine, it's his. I will give credit where credit is due. He gave me this advice. He said, when you walk in a room, stop, seal, open, pay attention, And then if there's a place where you can insert yourself, that would be at the right time. And so it is also in our culture here. If God has called us to be here, instead of us deciding, well, God must have called me here because He wants me to teach Pastor Mark how to be the pastor. Now, some of you laughed and some of you cringed. Not because it's a bad thing, but because that's disrespectful, right? We would never do that. Instead, what proper etiquette and proper teaching and proper respect of God tells us is that we pay attention and we come in and we say, now how can I fit into the vision of Cornerstone Church? So when I talk about culture, it's how we do it here. Now, does that mean that everything that is done here is always perfect? No. But there, if you have experienced the freedom of the Spirit, if you have experienced a moment where something has set you free and you keep being drawn, then don't you think that that's a precious thing? Why do you want to tamper with that? If there's freedom in the midst, why do you want to bring any kind of confusion or frustration to that? That's what I don't understand. So culture is how we do it. I want to start with the points. These are the 10 points that we have to offer you. Again, we went over the first five on Wednesday, and I want to just quickly run through these. But this one is probably one of our most important. We are audacious in our faith. We are audacious in our faith. We dare to believe that God will do what He said He would do. When we speak, heaven invades the earth. Not because our words are powerful, but because we speak the word that He has given us. We declare what He has said. Because remember, God is not a man that He would lie. That means we are men. I am flesh and blood, right? So I can't be the one creating the word. I have to bring myself into alignment with what He has already said. But we have to still declare it and believe that God will do it. And one of the things I mentioned on Wednesday night is that there are many of us who are sitting here who have given up on our faith or believing that God would do what He said He would do. And that's a sad place to be, but it's real. Because we've waited for years. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that He would lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, shall He not make it good? Matthew 18:18 says, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So we are audacious in our faith, meaning that we first and foremost believe that God desires to do what He said He would do. So when we enter into any kind of gathering together, we must first and foremost have an atmosphere of faith, believing that He is and that He wants to do what He said He would do. Point number two, we are mosaic. You know what a mosaic is. You've seen them. A mosaic is a picture made up of various tiles or various pictures. It's a large picture or a tapestry that's made up of smaller pieces that fit together to create a larger picture. Each one might be beautiful in its own way, but when they are assembled just right by the artist who has in his mind's eye a masterpiece, it becomes something greater than the one piece could have ever been by itself. Do you hear me this morning? So we are mosaic, meaning that we desire to be and recognize that we're radically diverse in age, ethnicity, and background, and that our individual uniqueness makes us stronger together. We're not a black church, we're not a white church, we're not a Spanish church. We are Cornerstone. Is that okay? Is that all right? I don't want to be any one of those things. I love the diversity that we have here because we have the ability to reach every person in our community if we desire to, because there's somebody here that can identify with them. There's somebody here that can reach out to them and say, I know what you're going through. I hear you. They can, when they come here, they can see people that look like themselves. What a radical idea in Wilkes County. Listen to this idea. I have two statements I want to read to you. We are to reflect the kingdom of God to our culture. We do not reflect our culture to the kingdom of God. If we're not careful, we want to make the church Hollywood. If we're not careful, we think that whatever's going on outside there should be brought in here. When in reality, God is saying what's going on in here, the move of my spirit, the move of faith, the move of the spirit, the gifts that are in operation, those things should be going from out of here, from in here to out there. Do you hear what I'm saying? We have it backwards. We want to bring outside inside. When he says take what's inside outside, our culture must be moved upon by the Spirit. Okay, I'm trying to move quickly. Do you hear me? So we are to reflect the kingdom of God to our culture. We do not reflect our culture to the kingdom of God. We are a picture, this is the second statement, we are a picture of what heaven looks like to those who can't see heaven. The church is supposed to be a picture, a mosaic of what heaven looks like to those who can't see heaven. Of what God's kingdom looks like to those who can't see the kingdom of God. Because there's no division in the kingdom of God. Is there going to be a place just for those who speak certain languages? Is there, I don't know. Or you can't have this person. My example on Wednesday night was a wedding reception. And trying to come up with the seating arrangement. Oh, no, you can't put them next to each other. They'll fight all night long. So can you imagine Jesus in heaven as he's mapping out our mansions and he says, well, no, I can't put those two together because they could never get along on earth. What have we made his kingdom? We have made it all about ourselves. Can we go to the next one? We are both. We are involved locally and globally. We must concentrate on the local, but we must also concentrate on the global aspects of what we do, because everything that we do affects the world. And we would be good to remember that. See, so many of us think that it doesn't matter what decision I make. It doesn't matter if I go to church this morning. It doesn't matter if I witness to this person. It doesn't matter if I share the gospel. It doesn't matter if I'm kind to this person. It doesn't matter if I go visit them. It doesn't matter. But what you do matters, and it has global consequences. Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, it really won't make a difference because we have such a low opinion of ourselves in some cases. Isn't that true? You think, I'm not big enough to make a difference, but he says, you are. You are. You have the ability to make a difference. Also, every time you give into the offering here, every time we take up an offering and receive it, what you're giving, your gifts, because we don't keep everything here in Wilkes County, even though we are giving and doing everything that we can think of and trying to think of more things, considering the community center, considering the gift bags that we give out for the kids for back to school and the other things that we try to do throughout the year. But we're also giving to a school in Ghana, giving to ministries in Mexico, giving to places across the world with our gifts and our offerings as we seed into Cornerstone Global. That's who we are. So we're both involved locally and globally. Our neighborhood starts in Wilkes County and stretches the lengths of the world. We will bless all humanity with the same compassion Christ has shown us. It's important. We're local and global. Don't forget that what you have to do today could affect someone around the world. The next one. We're all on the bus. We're all on the bus. United, we purpose to fulfill the vision that God has given us to accomplish. We intentionally focus on where we agree. Get on or get off. What? We're almost through these, and then we're going to start the next five. But think about this. What is human nature designed to do because of the... I'm going to blame it on the fall. But what is human nature designed to do? Do we look for the things that we have in common? Or do we look for the things that separate us? The things that are different about each other? And one of the things, again, it's just this song that gets stuck in my head. It's I don't even know where it came from. I don't know if it was a local TV show in Ohio. I don't know if it was a national, but it was this little song. One of these things is not like the other. One of these things just doesn't belong. Any of you ever heard that before? Or is it Sesame Street? Okay. So at least, and you grew up down here, so you know. Okay. So at least I'm not crazy. Well, we won't go there. But that's what we look for. It's like we're trained to look for our differences. Since from birth we are programmed to look for what makes us different. And in some ways that can be good, what makes us stand out or what separates us and makes us stand apart. But in some ways it's very bad because it also... it divides us, because as we talked last Sunday, walls are dividers. Walls keep us apart. And that's not what we're supposed to be doing. So it actually takes an intentional mindset to focus on what we agree on. I don't know who decided to paint this place purple. Purple? Purple? Really? Purple. I got to be careful. Pastor Karen will throw me out. Purple. Really purple. Whose idea would it be to paint the walls purple? Do you really think that God, in his all omniscience, in his great knowing and understanding, would think that purple is the appropriate color for his sanctuary? I just don't think so. Purple. I really don't. I just don't. I don't. I can't go to a church that's purple. If it's something that's that simple that can separate us, then maybe we shouldn't be together in the first place. And that's okay, because there are lots of places for us to go. But here's my question. Can we come together in the spirit of unity? Remember Psalms chapter 133 says, "Oh, how blessed it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the oil that was poured over the head of Aaron, that runs down his beard and runs over his garments." And it was talking about a picture that when we are together in unity, when we intentionally find a reason to band together for a cause, there is power and unity and strength like we can't find anywhere else. But we have to be intentional in it. Because if we're not intentional in finding ways to link ourselves together. I'll never forget when I was in college. It was just natural. One of my professors took me to his father's house. And I went in and I saw he had a ring on and a signet of an organization that my grandfather was part of. And I said, "Oh, wow, I like your ring. My grandfather's part of that organization." And we started talking about that. And when I left, that professor looked at me and said, "You don't understand something about yourself, do you?" Because I really had low self-esteem in college. He said, "You don't understand some of the gifts that God's given you, do you?" And I... "Please tell me. I'm glad to receive your education, Professor. Please, Doctor, tell me." He said, "Not everybody has that desire to look for things to bring us together. But when you do, it's a powerful tool to bring communication, to bring community. And we see that's the other problem. Cornerstone is not just a church or a steeple or a group of people that come together to worship. We're a family and a community. And the only way we can have a community is we intentionally focus on what we agree on. All right, I'm running out of time. Let me keep going. The next one. Oh, and the thing that I wanted to say, that also I just wanted to share this. Some of you say, well, that's not that. Is that a biblical? Can we go back to the other one? That's not a biblical perspective. You must agree that that's a man saying that. Can I point you to Amos chapter 3, verse number 3? I have two scriptures that I just want to share with you. Amos 3:3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? We must intentionally agree. We do not fuss or fight because what is at stake for the kingdom of God is bigger than ourselves. What's at stake is bigger than who we are. So we must be intentional. But it's not just our cultural choice, it's biblical. Now, hear this last one, Romans chapter 16. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. It goes so far as to say that there are people who actually carry the ideas or the spirits to divide us. And so we have to guard our hearts against that so that we as a family can stay together. Because if not, then we actually are easily divided. Because we are so diverse as a mosaic. Can we go to the next one? This is number 5, and then I'm going to get on to the new ones. Number 5. We are naturally supernatural. We are naturally supernatural. We believe the gifts of heaven are available to all believers. And their demonstration is a natural extension of the Christian life. It's not weird. It's powerful. How many of you, since we live in an area that is so dominated, I think that that's a proper term, so dominated by believers who are outside of a charismatic or Pentecostal movement. How many of you were scared when you first thought about coming to Cornerstone? They're a little weird. Any of you? Maybe some of you, maybe not. But yeah, Regina, you fit right in. Yeah, she's my sister. She fits right in. That's right. But the problem is, we have believed, because so many people in churches act weird. Now you all getting quiet. Why are you getting quiet? You don't like the truth? Listen. I was raised in a Pentecostal church. That's all I ever knew. Let me tell you about some weird. I'm not playing. I'm being serious. I can go down the list about some weird. But what we are here to do is to demonstrate to Wilkes County and to the world that it doesn't matter. We can come together. We can have a move of the Spirit. God can do some things. He can set some people free. He can save some lives. He can change some people's minds. He can do things through it. Because in one moment in His presence, He can do more than you can do talking things out. We don't really understand that to its fullness. But if we're not careful, we're going to lump ourselves into the idea of the weird. But we are not weird. We are not strange. These men are not drunk as you suppose, as they said in Acts chapter 2. But instead, they have been filled with new wine, and they have been endued with power from on high. That is what we are called to do. We're not weird. There is a place for the prophetic in this house. There's a place for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. There's a place for healing to be in our midst. There's a place for people to be able to walk in these doors. And because we are here, because we are Cornerstone, the chains of darkness fall. Whew. Well, some of you are on board. That's okay. But we are supernatural, meaning that it doesn't matter what my eyes see. If God said it, I'm going to believe it until it occurs, until it manifests right here. If God said my children are going to be saved, then I'm going to believe it until I see it. We are supernatural. We don't rely on just what we see, but we rely on the Spirit of God. Can we go to the next one? Number six. We are outside the box. We are forward-thinking people, willing to push boundaries and think creatively to spread the message of Christ. We're out of the box. This is part of our problem. We cannot continue to have church the way grandma and grandpa had church. It does not work. Not because God has changed, but because society has changed. Well, Pastor, you just said that we need to be a representation of God to our culture. It doesn't matter how we represent God to our culture. We have to find ways to be able to identify with our culture to be able to change their minds. Do you hear me? So we have to think outside the box. We have to be different. We can't do things exactly the way everybody has always done things. And sometimes that means we have to push boundaries. We have to be creative. Well, you know, I'm tired. Welcome to the club. How many of you go to work or go and do the things that you do and you're tired from time to time? Yeah. And so it is here. But the problem is we forget that the things that we do for God have eternal consequences. That's not a guilt statement, that's a fact. The things that we do, the ministry that we do to the young people, to the teenagers, to the children, to the adults, to the moms, the dads, the grandmas, and the grandpas, they have eternal consequences. So sometimes I have to push through my own tiredness. Sometimes I have to push through my own issues to be able to say, but God, I just need to focus on that. Do you hear what I'm saying? We have to be forward thinking. We can't rely on what God gave us 30 years ago to do. We have to think of something fresh for today. We need a fresh word. How many of you would be happy if Pastor preached messages from 1950? Maybe. Because I know he's a good preacher, but you know, I want God to speak to him for me now. You know, I enjoy watching the old classics because it reminds me, it brings up old memories. When we're watching, you know, what was it last night? The Christmas movie with Jimmy Stewart. Yeah, It's a Wonderful Life. Great movie. But that's not the last movie I'm going to see. I'm waiting for something new. I want something fresh. I want something to speak to who I am today. Do you know what I'm talking about? Because I thought about when he went walking to his girlfriend's house. Or the girl that he was going to go talk to. I thought, that must be a little town. Because I don't know many people that would do a lot of walking today. No, he'd be riding up in his car, beeping the horn with the music blaring. Anyway, it's a different culture, so we have to be fresh. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was just a thought that I had. I don't know where it came from. It's just a thought. Watch it. See what you think. is weird because they do things differently now than they used to then. You understand what I'm saying? We got to think outside the box. The next one, number 7. We are world class. We are world class. We are world class. See, we got to start changing our mind about some things. We're world class. We're world class through excellence. We show the brilliance and greatness of God. Now, nobody get upset or frustrated. Hear me. But we are punctual. We are top notch. We're all in. We're world class. Through excellence, we show the brilliance and the greatness of God. Through excellence, we show the brilliance and the greatness of God. Some of you caught on. Can I talk about this? Okay. See, some of you caught on to a few things. Pastor, a few months ago, said, what we have to offer, what we want to share is so important we don't want anybody to miss. So let's load the front end of the service. We still want to start at 10 o'clock, but let's load the front end with a few different things. So let's do a video. Let's do a call to worship. Let's have some of Bishop preaching. And then let's start praise and worship a little bit later, because I want the people to be saturated in the presence of God. And I want them to be here for praise and worship, and our people don't show up till 10:15 or 10:20. Can we move on to the next one? We're people of honor. We show honor and respect to all people because God values them. Period. Wow. We show honor and respect to all people. All people. All people. Toda la gente. Toda gente. Toda la gente. All people. Because God values them. Well, no, I'm sure that that's a misprint. Just the ones I like. Those are the ones that get along with me. Right? Oh, come on. Tell me you don't think that sometimes. In the business world, the honor is shown to the one that can give me something. I want to see what you can give me. My philosophy was, I'm going to show more honor to the ones that cannot do anything for me, because that is determining my worth, and that's how I practice who I am. Because, yes, sometimes you got to practice who you are. Sometimes it just has to be for yourself. Sometimes I just have to do it for myself. So, do you know who I loved on the most, who I gave to the most, who I complimented the most? Were the secretaries. Because the secretaries are the one that had to put up with me. They had to deal with me. They had to listen to me. They had to look at me. They had to take my phone calls. They had to deal with my problems and my issues. And they didn't get nothing in return. In fact, they were paid less than anybody else in the office. So, it was my philosophy that those are the people. Or what about the janitors? What about the people who are cleaning and sweeping the floor or emptying your garbage? Do you know them by name? Do you know who they are? Do you know where they live? Do you know their children's names? Do you understand what I'm talking about? We show respect to all people because that's what God called us to do. That's who we are. We are people of honor. Meaning I show honor to you even when I disagree with you. Even when I'm mad at you. Even when you have spit in my face. Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Wow. I saw on Facebook somebody said, yeah, I'll turn the other cheek. But it's not the cheek he was talking about. But we are people of honor. And we have to make that decision that that's what we are. We show honor and respect to all people, period. It's a conscious decision that we have to concentrate on. Number 8. We're serious about our generosity. Because giving runs in our DNA. It's who we are. Whether it's money. And see, I grew up where I thought in the church I was raised that money was all we gave. I didn't understand. Money's important because it's what keeps the lights on. It's what keeps things running. But money is not just the only thing I give. Money is just part of it, but I also give my time and my resources to the vision that God has given us to accomplish that vision. See, our bishop used to say a prayer over us, especially when the economy changed and things started happening. He would pray over us as we would give in our offering. He would say, may God bless you and may He multiply and give back to you in money and what money cannot buy. He would say, may your clothes last a little bit longer. May your cars run a little bit longer. May the things that you have last longer so that you don't have to purchase more things, because it's not just money, but it is also our time and our resources that we give to God and we ask Him to multiply them. I remember when somebody started coming to the church, they said, something happened. I feel like I have more time. Because time was so important to them. They felt like their time was being stolen from them. And they came here and they said, oh my goodness, I feel like my days are longer now. Because that's something that we need to believe for, that God is able to do. But we need to give those things. Giving runs in our DNA. It's who we are. We give whatever we have. We give our time. We give our energy. We give our love. We give our support. We give our encouragement. That's who we are. Number 9. We're not a show. We're not a show. We're engaged and passionate. We believe that every member has an important role to play. All hands are on deck because together our efforts are multiplied. We are not a show. We are not a show. We get so caught up in Sunday mornings and making sure that the music is good and making sure that the word is, that we're hearing it and that we're all in our places, and because it's the big dance, big show. This is not a show. God help us if that's our mentality or that's our thought. This is not a show. But sometimes it comes across that way because of our excitement. You see, you don't live with my wife. I do. And when she says that she's excited and anticipating, she means she's excited and anticipating. Because this is not a show. We're engaged. Because we understand one touch from the Heavenly Father. One moment in His presence. If we're able to usher in His presence and we're able to create an atmosphere where all things are possible, where people will start to build their faith, because if you don't lean in, you understand what I'm saying when I say that? If you don't lean in, have you ever been in a place where they just... Yeah. I dare you. I dare you to make me. I dare you to move me. I dare you. Good luck, brother. Let's see this happen. This ought to be good. I got it. I'm waiting for you. You understand what I'm saying? But instead, our attitude in our atmosphere here is a position of leaning in, a position of engagement. I'm not here because it's just what I do on Sundays. I'm here because I believe that my presence here makes a difference in the atmosphere. It makes a difference in the culture. It makes a difference in my community. It makes a difference in what's going to happen this week. It prepares me so that I'm able to do what I'm supposed to do. It prepares me because I'm able to get something that I need to keep me, to sustain me. If we do not live by this standard that we are engaged and passionate, if we continue to believe that this is a show, then how will your children ever be changed? How will your grandchildren ever know Jesus Christ? How is it possible? But we must be engaged, and that we must remember that we all have an important role to play. The concept of multiplicity. The concept of multiplicity, we understand exponents, right? It's not math class. But think about it. When we raise things to the power of ourselves, when we multiply what God is doing and we come together, there's an electricity, a power that can't be gauged. Do you understand what I'm saying? The last one, our efforts are multiplied. The last one, we're history makers. I hope that today that these 10 ideas have challenged your thinking. And how many of you, without raising your hands, but how many of you have really, can you say that, you know, I don't know that I've thought about myself in these ways, but this is who Cornerstone is. We're history makers. Well, Pastor Mark is a history maker because he's the pastor of the church and he's leading me. But I'm just here. But we're history makers because every person that comes to Cornerstone, every person that enters into this church and becomes a part of this church is a leader. And as leaders, we refuse to leave our city or our world without leaving a mark on the generations to come. That's who we are. We are about impacting the next generation. That's why when you come in, the banners that are out there, what we're about, what we're doing is restoring the paths. Understanding that we're restoring the paths to walk in, but we're creating for the next generation a place for our children and our grandchildren. A world in which they will live where they will not be treated the way we have been treated based on the language that we speak or the color of our skin. We are creating here in Wilkes County the ability for people to walk with their heads up saying, I am proud of who I am. I am proud of going to Cornerstone. I am proud of knowing that I am a child of God and that I am able to do something that other people have never been able to do. I am able to change the face of our community because I am Cornerstone. Not just because of this church, but because of the thoughts and the processes that we instill in ourselves. Because we choose to be focused on what brings us together. Because we choose to honor each other. Can we go through them quickly? Starting with the first one. And if you don't mind, would you say them with us? You don't have to say all of them, but just say the first line. We are audacious in our faith. We are mosaic. We are both. We are all on the bus. We are naturally supernatural. We are outside the box. We are world class. We are people of honor. We are serious about generosity. We are not a show. We are history makers. Father, I pray that you will speak to our hearts today, that you will remind us of who we are, that you will seal within us the desire to be who you called us to be. And that if there be any light switches that could go on in our heads or in our hearts or in our minds to signal to us the truth about who you are, the truth about who we are, and the truth that we are together in this. Because, God, there are some folks who have been alone. There's some folks in this place that have felt alone. There's some folks in this place who have felt like they couldn't make it another step or another way. They couldn't get any farther. But, God, I pray that you will speak to their hearts. Come on, just open your hearts and your spirits to Him this morning. Let Him pour into you. Something's going on. I pray that this has spoken to you in some way, that this has touched your heart.
Yeah. For the Lord is good and His love endures. Yes, the Lord is good forever, and I'll shout it out from the mountain tops. Yes, the Lord is good forever, for the Lord is good, and His love endures. Yes, the Lord is good forever, and I'll shout it out from the mountain tops. Yes, the Lord is good forever, for the Lord is good, and His love endures. Yes, the Lord. Yes, the Lord is good forever.
One moment. One divine appointment. How many of you have ever heard of a divine appointment? There are divine appointments in our lives that God has set up for us. And one divine appointment can change the face of history for your family, for you. I want to open these altars this morning to anyone who needs to agree, because we are a church who is naturally supernatural, and we believe that when we pray, things happen, not because we're praying, but because we know who we're praying to. So I want to offer that. Is there anyone who needs prayer this morning? Who says, you know, I really don't know about Jesus Christ. I've heard about Him, but I'm not sure who He is. Is there anyone who would say, I'd like to hear more about Him this morning. I'd like to accept the Lord as my Savior. I'd like to at least talk with someone about that this morning, because I don't know. I don't know if I'm a child of the King. I don't know if I've been saved. I don't know if I've been redeemed. Is there anyone with your heads bowed and your eyes closed just to give reverence to Him this morning? Is there anyone who would raise your hand and say, that's me this morning. I'm not sure that I have a relationship with Him, but I would like to. The other thing I hear in my heart, not seeing any, believing that everyone has been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, what I hear in my heart this morning is that there are some here who have said, I'm alone. I am alone. I've been forgotten. I really don't have a connection, not just to this church, but even into the church at large. I don't have a connection, and I need something greater than myself. I need to reach out. I need a touch. I don't even know what I need this morning, but I'm in need. I need something. If you're here this morning and that's you, would you make your way up? And there are some elders who are here this morning that will be happy to pray with you.